I want my idea to be on record, Brian.
Okay, so we're going to move on. Danny's getting a little wild.
I'll add it in, Danny. Don't worry.
All right, everybody. Welcome Justin, back to... No. Oh, my God, Brian. I was in the zone.
Oh, my God. I had my
Now he's going to fuck it up so bad.
I had my frat bro line going. I was doing great. All right, welcome back to Can We Save the Cat, a entertainment podcast, much like our writer's room, where we pitch three ideas, go around the room, choose one, and try to create it to the next big thing. I am Justin Eugene, one of the hosts, writer and producer.
I am Danny Hanks, another one of your hosts, writer and director.
And I am Brian Hayes, writer and actor. I like how every time we're like, I'm one of the hosts, like... No, this is just random Joe off the street. Got to make sure that we clarify that he is not a host.
We could say co-host. But I'm why do co-host.
I feel like, okay, this is our 34th episode.
So I can just say, I don't have to say host anymore, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we can just be like...
We've been doing that for a while, so I just was kept it going, Brian. As Brian as our producer, you thought he'd give us these notes beforehand, not after.
Okay, but like, what if both of you introduce yourself, and then I'm like... And I'm your host, because then it looks like
you
I'm the head
son
of the podcast.
You would do that. How rude of you.
I'm just saying, it's like every time when we used to do the intro, and then at the end of his intro, Justin would be like, and you can find me at Justin Eugene on all platforms. And we're like, well, shit. Yeah. We already done did ourselves, so we can't put our handles out there now,
We done done did it.
The difference is these two are not very good and don't really like social media, so I figured I would be the one to push mine to help us all.
I'm great at social media.
What a rude. I've been sitting here looking at...
My new shirt?
Dear Naps, sorry I was a jerk to you as a kid. You know, I've never been a nap person. I can't take naps. Even when I was a kid.
After like a large lunch... Yeah, I could take a nap after a large lunch.
I'm one of those people. I also can't, like, if I wake up, I can't fall back asleep. If I wake up at 5 a.m. on accident, I can't, like, force myself to go back to sleep. Because when I wake up, my brain's like, let's go. We got to do all this stuff. And then...
Can you lay back down and rest, though? Not close your eyes and fall asleep, but rest your body.
Yeah, I can do that. I just can't. I can't take naps. Even if I'm dog ass tired, I will lay in bed and like recharge, but I can't actually fall asleep and take a nap.
So what's interesting is that the science behind napping is such that you actually don't want to go into like sleep waves.
Yeah.
You're really just resting.
Correct.
And it's like micro naps. So like you probably are taking naps in a way because even if you're like going into a meditative state,
that's exactly
probably
what it
technically
is.
A nap.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair because I will lay there and put on like Twitch or something and just absolutely zone out and I will wake up, you know, quote,
is
20
Twitch
minutes
where you
later,
watch people so. Play video games?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. Yeah, it is. I watch people play video games. I watch people do D&D. I watch people do crossword puzzles. Just anything.
Do you watch, I don't know if this person is on Twitch, but do you watch Gray Still Plays?
No.
Okay.
I watch a lot of...
the nerd part of the podcast.
If you are a nerd, I watch a lot of Felicia Day on Twitch.
I watch Gray Still Plays and Markiplier both on YouTube.
Yeah.
So...
Felicia Day was, you could honestly credit like Twitch to Felicia Day if you wanted to. She is the creator of the show The Guild, which was all about a web series.
Oh yeah, my dad's like obsessed with that.
Yeah, so it started as a web series about people playing video games and they would show clips of them actually playing the video game. And she like just produced it all on her own with some friends and everything. And she's a huge nerd and gamer and everything. And she streams on Twitch. So I like watching her a lot. She'll play like Among Us with some other celebrities and stuff. And it's pretty fun to sit there and watch. So
So is that like voyeurism where you're just watching another human do something? Am I correct in that statement?
So then wouldn't reality TV?
Yeah, I think reality TV is considered voyeurism, I believe. Even though I think some of it is scripted.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I see Twitch and streaming as voyeurism. So my understanding of it is like when they're getting hurt or like taking pleasure from other people's pain.
Voyeurism? No.
That's how voyeurism is.
Voyeurism is just watching.
You watch other people.
Yeah. And exhibitionism is
sexual interest or practice of watching other people engaged in intimate behaviors such as undressing, sexual activity, or other actions usually considered to be of a private nature. So no.
I didn't know it was all sexual.
The second one is enjoyment from seeing the pain or distress of others. And that's what I was associating with.
It has way more of a negative connotation than I thought.
It is.
I just thought it was like people watching other people.
I mean, it is definitely a, excuse my pun here, perverted definition of the word. But no, there is, like, you can say that somebody's a voyeur for just watching you, but it does have a little bit of a, not necessarily a creepy, but definitely an overindulgent aspect to it. Same with, like, exhibitionists. You could argue that the Twitch people are exhibitionists because they like being watched, in which case you would say the Twitch viewers are voyeurs.
That's fair. I would counter that and say that the Twitch streamers are modern day improvisationalists because they are taking this thing in front of them, the script or whatever, or the game that they're playing, and they're riffing on it and they're creating moments within it. And it's just these little, I pretty much only follow people that I know are like for the communities around them that they've built, you know, and the interaction that they have. So for instance, like Felicia Day has a really good group of people that follow her. It's not super toxic and things like that. Another one I follow was Leopard, but I follow them more for the game that they play. And they just happen to be like one of the least toxic people that play that game. So I enjoy watching them.
I mean, if we want to go that far back, you could just argue that we're modern day Puritans on our soapboxes trying to get attention from passersby shouting out our stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. I mean, I never meant the comment as like derogatory. I was just like, that's what I thought voyeurism was, just like watching real life people do stuff.
Yeah, and I think
like, I always thought reality TV to me was kind of like voyeurism. You're just watching people you don't really know do stuff because it's entertaining.
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of Twitch is just, it's mindless, but I can connect enough because one, the community's good, and then two, I'm familiar with whatever they're playing or whatever they're doing. Like when I watch them do D&D, like it's so interesting to me because they're creating, like I've done D&D, and so I know how it is whenever I do it, and then watching them do it is, you know, however they're doing it. And then also like Destiny, whenever I watch Leopard play Destiny, I'm very familiar with the game. They're very good at it. So then I watch and see, you know, strategies and stuff like that I want to take out. So I think there's a lot of different reasons. Again, I refuse to watch anybody that has any sort of toxicity associated to them. Sorry, PewDiePie, you know, stuff like that.
Sorry, so. Not sorry. I'm playing a new D&D campaign as a mushroom.
I am curious to see how that goes. How are you sentient?
I am a mushroom race called a Harvestborn. It is custom content.
Okay, there you go.
That somebody made on a Kickstarter. Well, there is mushroom race. There is Myconid people.
Okay.
But I am not a Myconid. I am a Harvestborn.
So every Tuesday night, I take part in a raid group in Destiny, and one of them is creating a Destiny tabletop campaign.
Yes.
So I'm pretty interested in that.
Wait. I'm a Harvestborn Mushroomling Spore Druid.
I love that.
I was like, if I'm going to be a mushroom, I'm going to spread my spores around and it's going to kill people.
I think my absolute favorite thing about this conversation is for the last X amount of minutes, everything has gone so far over Justin's head that he is just looking on with, I can't tell if it's disgust or glee at how nerdy this has gotten.
Hey, if we get enough listeners, we will start a second podcast that will be Justin's first D&D campaign.
We should make Justin go through just all of the nerdcore things.
Yes. It'll be like Justin Tries, and it'll be like Justin Tries Different Things.
Oh my God.
I would totally do it. I mean, I'm jealous sometimes because of how nerdy you two are. Because I love this stuff. I just don't understand it.
Here's the only issue. I feel like for D&D, the DM would be like, you walk into a tavern and there's a guy and he's like, are you a hero? And Justin would be like, no. I go up to the bar and get a drink. This young woman approaches you and is trying to get your number. No.
Like, I just want to drink
my drink.
Shut
down everything.
Yeah.
I would be the character that, I mean, as long as I knew what I was supposed, if I was supposed to say I'm a hero and I would do something correct, then yes. I'd much rather be the villain, but yeah, I'll be the hero.
You'd be a barbarian.
The big thing about D&D is like there is no context. They tell you where you're at in the location and you literally have to just live your life.
But if I say no over and over again, I'm assuming that's going to be very unenjoyable.
I mean, probably, but it could also lead to some interesting interactions that you had no idea would happen because...
Yeah, especially when you force the DM to come up with characters that they weren't expecting.
Oh, yeah.
I like this podcast idea where Justin learns something every week, so I'm into it. We'll put it in our Patreon. It'll be our Patreon episodes where Justin learns something.
All right. This nerdcore has gone on long enough. Let's do pitches.
Let's do it. All right. Should I start with my pitch?
Yeah, go for
sure.
It.
Sure.
All right. So mine is coming from somewhat inspired by a documentary. Also an idea from a good friend of mine. But it is a family who adopts an orphan. But the orphan is an adult, and this actually happened. Like, family adopted somebody who was actually like 24 or something, posing to be like a 15-year-old kid. So the concept is kind of like either this adult is like messed up in the head or like trying to trick people or like was sex trafficked or whatever. And then they get targeted by a home invasion and the kid just goes berserk and like starts defending them. But it turns out like this person that they've adopted is not actually a kid, is an adult, and is a monstrous killer, but protecting his adopted family from this terrible thing. And now it's like, what do you do?
Wow. This will be on True Crimes next week.
Oh, my.
You know I bring the thrillers to the table.
God.
Brian, you want to follow that?
Jesus.
And then it turns out that the kid is blind and feels his mother's adopted mother's face when it gets a face transplant.
Oh, my God.
Throwback.
I hate this so much. Okay. So mine is, because of a pandemic, a screenwriter is forced to move back in with their recently divorced dad in their home state. When restrictions are lifting, they find themselves needing to be back out west in California because their screenplay was optioned. They have a meeting with a studio, so they need to get that going out. They don't really have a lot of money, so they get in their car, they pack up to head back out west, except this time they have an unwanted passenger, dear old recently divorced dad.
We call it 7 miles from friendship.
I was going to say, like, we've done quite a bit road trip pitches here, haven't we?
I don't even think we've ever, like, done a road trip. No, we did,
We did one recently.
No, we haven't. No. Everything
we did one recently where it went poorly.
We did Along for the Ride.
Yeah, but that wasn't really a road trip.
Pack of Smokes?
Wasn't really a road trip.
I mean, he was trying to go to California.
That's not a road trip.
It was.
Yeah, but the meat of the movie.
Meat of the movie wasn't a road trip.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I agree with you on that. We had pitched a couple, though, before. We've definitely pitched some.
We've done so many road trip movies that we've just pitched and never
We've never done
a real road trip movie. Yes, I agree. I was just thinking, I was like, I feel like I've heard a lot of these, but I don't know if we've ever done
one.
Yeah,
we've done a lot of road trip pitches, but none of them have happened.
It's fair that we keep pitching them, though. I like that. I like our...
We're going to get... Once we get a road trip
one
movie
of them
to
will
stick,
work.
Then we'll move on.
All right, so my pitch is about a young fisherman in Arkansas who's a fisherman guide. A vlogger meets the fisherman on one of her trips to Arkansas. His stories are interesting. She sticks around. She learns more about him and his backstory while she's vlogging. And will they fall in love? Boom. Done.
Okay.
Told you, simple and light.
Hmm.
All right, reverse order.
Jesus Christ, Danny. Like, I mean, it's a good story, but fuck, it's so dark. I think you could tell off my pitch that I wanted to go lighter, so it has nothing against you, Danny. It's literally just the moment I'm in. I think your story is great, but I would think I'd rather go with Brian's in the moment.
Yeah.
I do think Brian's is also
remember
great.
Remember a few weeks ago when we were like, we definitely don't always pick the best pitch? I'm just gonna reference
Danny.
I think all three pitches are great. I love my pitch.
See, that's where you would be wrong.
I could be wrong.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Choosing Brian.
All right, Justin chose me. Here's what I'm going to say. I am going to choose Justin's.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Danny, here's the deal. I personally refuse to vote for myself, or this would be the one where I vote for myself and take it. The thing is, like, I don't know that any of these three pitches are what I would call like A tier, S tier level pitches. Like, these are all three a little sus. So this
I feel like all three could sell.
A family adopts someone who is actually much older than they're portraying.
That actually happened.
And then they go ape shit and kill people?
Yes, and then the family has to kill him.
That's a real... That happened.
Not that part. Not that part of it, but the adopted... He ended up being like a criminal.
I think Brian's and my idea would be easier to sell than Danny's.
Clearly neither of you understand how obsessed the world is with true crime.
I think Danny's would sell in like a dark as hell Wes Anderson style film. I think Justin's would sell in a cheesy as hell Hallmark type film. And I think mine would sell as a
cheap ass little indie.
Or a studio with a couple of big names and a like weaker type.
Oh, by the way, Brian, if all three of us had big names in our movies, they would be studio.
I don't know. You cannot convince me that.
I think Danny's would sell. Who's the guy who did Us and
Jordan Peele?
Oh, yeah. Jordan
Peele could definitely make her movie an A-list studio movie if he did it.
Just saying.
You can't deny that.
God, I would hate that. Okay, anyways.
I don't know if he'd go in the same direction Danny would, but he could make it.
Yours would be a big budget if Nicholas Sparks wrote it.
Yeah, sure. Totally fair. As I'm saying, like, I mean, if you put factors in, of course they're going to be big
okay,
budget.
Okay, good point. Good point.
All right. Well, since I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place,
you can
I'm going to go
for
with
yourself.
Brian's. I don't want to vote for myself. I don't want to pity vote myself, and then we have to roll, and then I get stuck with
pity
vlogger
vote.
And a fisherman. No.
Here's what I like. I actually want to do a road trip. I want to actually see what happens when we are forced to make a road trip movie.
All right. Road trip movie. Daughter, divorced dad.
Daughter, divorced dad.
Going from New Jersey to LA. I think it's probably they don't know each other very well. And like the dad is now like recently divorced and like trying to be the tough guy and tough it out, but also needing support. So kind of goes to his daughter and his daughter tries to help him get back on his feet on their way across the country. You're definitely going to have some Schitt's Creek-esque dad-daughter interactions where it's like they have adjoining hotel rooms and
yeah.
They go to a bar together and it's the next morning and like this guy walks out of her room and her dad's like, oh my goodness. And she's like, Dad, oh my God, stop it.
Or it's vice versa and the dad has somebody walking out of his room.
I think that's the more cliche one, but yeah, dad has somebody walking out of his hotel room and she's like, Dad.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying
to... Good job.
Wow. That's what I'm trying to think of is like, yeah, how do we play this road trip where it's not... We want it to be typical, but we also want it to hit some different beats. So what do we do with the father-daughter relationship that can kind of separate it a bit?
Question. Does it have to be for screenwriting?
No.
Because I was thinking like...
It just gave an excuse like for them to go back across country.
So what if it's for college? What if she's like, oh, I'm just going to pack all my stuff in this car and drive across the country. And he's like, oh, like, I want to see my baby girl off to college. And this is the perfect opportunity. And she's like, Dad, you could just fly there. And he's like, no, like, let's make a road trip out of it.
So is she 18? like going to college for the first time, or is she just going
back? She could be going to grad school. But my thing is, then there's some comedy in like what she's packed too. You have the difficulty of like having a fully packed car. You have the bonding moment of like dad teaching her how to repack the car or how to drive without being able to see. And she's like, I know how to do this. And they almost get an accident. And he's like, let me take over. And then you have the thing of like when he has to repack the car because everything is really poorly packed because she just stuffed it all in there. He like finds something that he didn't know about. And he's like, oh, my God, like you smoke weed and you're taking it across state lines. You realize you could get arrested for this.
Yeah.
And she's like, dad, chill.
So wait, is the dad super uptight? Like, and that's where I'm trying to figure out. I feel like just figuring out the characters can lead to figuring out the comedic moments.
I think it's funny if the dad is uptight. Maybe not uptight, but he's like your standard dad. Like, he thought that his marriage was going well. He thought everything was good. And then he kind of gets his heart broken, but he's trying to tough it out and, like, be okay with it. And he's a little bit uptight, but it's really just that he wants to be a good dad.
Yeah. So, in my head, originally, I was thinking that they were kind of excited to be, like, they loved their spouse and everything, but the divorce was almost expected. And so, the idea that they're kind of, like, taking the reins off, so to speak. But I like the idea of it not being that. I like the idea of the dad kind of holding on to the past a little bit.
No, I definitely think that it's like a little bit of a reluctant thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe he knew the divorce was coming, but it's not like he's excited about it.
Yeah, I guess what I was getting at is in my head, it was more like the dad was kind of letting loose and enjoying this road trip and the daughter had to kind of rein them in a little bit. But if the dad is a little bit more uptight, then that's interesting to me from, so is there a relationship that maybe the dad was busy the whole time that she was growing up and couldn't really be around, and now he's trying to make up for lost time.
Yeah, and she doesn't want him along with her.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's him.
Okay.
And she is a little bit more wild card, maybe?
Yeah, and that's where I'm struggling because you don't want two people who are kind of the same. Or maybe that would be interesting is what if they are kind of the same and neither of them are really willing to acknowledge that like they are the same person and they see things in each other that they dislike, but it turns out like they're the exact same way.
But wait, how is he a wild card? How is he a wild card?
No. I was thinking more like uptight kind of.
I think maybe she's not uptight, but she's particular. Like, I would say maybe he's uptight, but she's particular about the way that she wants things. Or she doesn't even have to be, like, even if you are a wild card, you can still be really protective of your own space and, like, somebody coming and intruding on your car. Like, he's going to try to switch stuff around in her car, and it's like, no, this is my car. You know.
Oh, Justin's going to hate me. Can I throw out a counter pitch to my pitch?
Is it animated?
No. What if she's the one that's recently divorced and we scratch like the whole pandemic thing, but the dad is older and maybe he's widowed and she is very recently divorced and moving across country for a new job or something. And so it's because I guess I'm struggling with what is her want?
Does he have dementia?
No.
Damn it.
Justin, I hate you.
I would have been in.
So here's the thing.
What if they got divorced because of infidelity and he is widowed, but there was infidelity in that relationship and they have some kind of connection that brings them together like over the trip with that?
Yeah, I think that she never knew about.
Yeah, correct. Where he talks her through like what happened to him and she's like, oh my God, I never knew that happened. How did you get through that?
Or I was thinking like, she got cheated on, and so she left her husband, and her dad's relationship is fractured because he cheated on her mom and is the reason that they got a divorce. And yet he's trying to go with her on this road trip and, like, reconnect.
See, I don't buy it. I don't buy it in that case because I don't buy that she would let him be in the car.
She probably would, like, depending on, like, how long it had been. I think that would be your big factor there. I think the other way works better where like you find out that he had gone through it. Like no one knows until the middle of the trip.
I think so too.
Yeah, that's a great twist that you can put in. Like whenever everything's going well and then they're connecting deeper and deeper and then he gives that information, you know, I mean, that's great. A great moment.
I know.
I'm in on that.
You're welcome. Say it's great one more time, please.
But my problem is if we do that, then it's just a family of sad, like.
You mean it's America? I mean, give me a fucking break, dude. It's a pretty common thing that happens in marriage. So not that it will happen to you, Brian.
I'm just saying, I think if we're
It won't happen to me, but for different reasons.
It's definitely never going to happen to me.
So the only thing that I don't like about him being like, your mom cheated on me, I think the spin has to be that he's proud that she left.
Because he didn't.
Like, I think it has to be that it was a really resentful marriage after that because he felt betrayed. Because otherwise it sounds like he's going to be telling her to go back to him, right? Because they stayed together and it was so great. Like, no, it's like...
No, I agree with that.
He's going with her basically to make sure she doesn't go back to him.
The only thing I don't like about that is you're basically saying that couples can't recover.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a movie. Like, we're going to find a way to make her happy. Like, you could have both characters figure out, like, you know what? I was happier with her. Or you could have the characters be like, you know what? I never confronted her about it. We never had a conversation. I always felt guilty even when she died. At least you confronted him and you guys had a conversation and made a decision. Does that make sense, Brian? Like, at least it's not a stereotype. It's the difference is she had a conversation, he didn't.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel better? I want you to feel better.
I mean, whatever we end up doing, I'm going to feel better because that's the...
Okay, good. Because you seemed upset.
I'm not upset. I just think... I just don't like the idea of there being a definitive marriages fail because or marriages succeed because. Like, there is no right or wrong.
I don't think there should be. He never talked to his wife about it. And that's kind of why he wants to talk to her. Because he never told anybody that he found this out.
Yeah.
Well, he can relate to some of her feelings.
Right. That too.
If that's kind of like your act two, how do we get them there? What's the purpose of her bringing him? Is she like a caregiver to him? Is she like, did the mom die recently? They're selling the house and he has nowhere to go. So she's like, well, let's sell your house and you can just come with me. Is that kind of the idea we're going with? Or like,
I would go more the relationship is strained because he never.
But why would she bring him if the relationship's strained?
He imposes.
Yeah, he's trying to make up for lost time, basically.
I mean, it can be like she's moving into her first house.
He really wants to help her move.
Right. He really wants to help her move because she was originally going to move with this guy.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay.
And
that's good.
Now she's not.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you need somebody to help you with all this stuff. And so then he goes with her.
So he's not too old where like he's not going to look. It's not going to look weird that an older guy wants to move stuff.
No.
Yeah. He's maybe like. Yeah. 50.
Honestly, now in my head, I'm thinking like. Young mid-20s and then Steve Carell type as the dad. So like late 50s or early 50s or whatever. So
yeah. And so then, you know, we have some things where it's like
what if she doesn't have a car and they're gonna take his car, like an SUV?
So here's my thing. The reason why I like it being her car is because then he's intruding on her space. And we get to have like the reveals of he was either an absentee father or a controlling father. And you get the blow up of like, well, where was this advice when I was a kid?
Yeah.
Like, why weren't you there? You want to help me now. You never helped me when I was a teenager.
I'm still not seeing how she lets him in the car, though.
Because she is broken and she needs somebody.
Yeah, but I still would never let my dad in the car if I like didn't like him.
It's not that she doesn't like him. It's just that their relationship was always strained. And I think it was strained because... You know, as the mom and the dad's relationship was failing, he dove himself into his work and didn't have as much time for his kids. And that put a strain on the relationship. And now he's trying to make up for lost time. And she just sees it as intrusion. I think in that moment, anybody would be...
Okay, it's a trope. Yeah, I got it.
I mean, no, here's the thing. I feel like if she was going to move across the country with this guy and they were going to take this road trip, now she is a single woman. And she can't, it's not like she can find just anybody who will up and frickin' road trip across the country with her.
Right.
And it will cost so much money to suddenly hire movers.
In real life, I think she would just go by herself.
No, I don't think so.
I think she would bring her dad.
Because she's a woman.
I would.
You would because you're a man.
Well,
this is more of a safety thing.
I also, it's
not
even
sexist now, okay?
No, 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 but this is more of a safety thing, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
I would never go on a road trip by myself.
But also, Justin, I would 100, if I'm in my like weakest moment and somebody was there for me, even if I had a strained relationship with that person, 100% I would want them to go with me on that.
Also, nobody else is going to step up. It's not like one of her friends is going to be like,
yeah.
But here's the thing. Here are the arguments.
Her friends suck.
She doesn't know how to change a tire.
Is that a common thing people think about when they go on road trips?
Yes. Yeah.
I've never thought about 100%. That on any of my road trips.
Well, that's because you're 6'4".
How's that deal changing the tire, Danny?
Because as a 5'1 queer-looking woman getting stuck in the middle of Ohio with, like, a flat tire, the guy who's going to drive up in his pickup and try to help me is probably going to rape me and throw me off the side of the river.
It's a real negative viewpoint on life. I feel bad.
That's a really realistic
saying,
one.
It's not
unfortunately,
safe
yeah.
to road trip across the country as a single woman.
AAA.
And all of the spots in the country where you don't get cell service. Have you seen Criminal Minds? Any of these shows?
I've seen every episode of Criminal Minds.
Justin, I'm just saying I am neither of these things. I'm neither super imposing nor frail. I would 100% for that emotional availability that just having somebody else there with me would offer, I would bring someone. I could have a horrible relationship with them, and if they're offering and nobody else is, I'm like, yeah, come on, get in.
And I would do it purely for the logical reason of like, you need somebody
with
muscle.
I'm not a woman, so I can't judge Danny's viewpoint. So yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
6'4" white man.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I am. I was more saying like Brian does a thing where like it's not believable in my mind. This isn't believable, but it's a movie to me, so like I'm fine with it.
I guess from our perspective, it's more believable that she would go with him as the last resort.
I get your viewpoint, Danny, and I get Brian's viewpoint now that he's explained it.
Okay, so we know that she is a 5'1" petite woman.
Oh my God.
Driving across the country.
With red hair.
With red hair.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what it is. She's living with the husband in an apartment, let's say in New York City. Dad lives in Jersey. Husband cheated on her. They were going to move into a house in California. She couch surfed for a while, but she really needed a place to put all her stuff. Goes and lives with dad to get the car, to pack all her stuff up, to get ready to move across the country. He finds everything out and he's like, I'm not letting you do this alone. I'm going with you. I don't think she tells him either. I think it's kind of like he figures it out and he realizes in the fact that she didn't tell him what happened, that his not being open and honest with his emotions and telling people about their family problems as a kid has instilled some difficulties around communication in his kids.
Yeah.
So maybe it's less about her talking to the husband and more just like her being able to talk to anybody about this because he could never talk to anybody about this.
So he sees it as sort of his duty, not just to go and like be her quote unquote protector along the road trip, but be her.
Make sure she doesn't end up like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Emotionally stunted.
Yep.
And so we have our first act. So what's our big, like, I know that there's going to be the fun and games of it's her car. He's messing it up. She can't like see.
I also liked the idea that you pitched that like she was planning to do this with her spouse. And so as they're going along, I almost imagine it as they had planned this like week long trip out to California with stops along the way and scheduled stops along the way, excuse me. And they're staying a night at like a nice cute little B&B that they, you know, had a lover's suite type thing for.
Yeah, I love that.
And so like her and her dad now have to share this honeymoon type suite.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see them like they're supposed to have a room with a king bed. They ask if they can get a room with two queens, but then they still have to change, like they still have to share the room.
Yeah.
Because all of the other rooms in the hotel are booked or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think you have the fun and games of like there's that. You have he has to repack the car and he finds something that he didn't know about her.
I like the weed because I think that's funny with like, I'm going out to California. It's literally legal there. And he's like, yeah, but you're taking
like,
it across.
You can't take this across state lines.
Yeah.
I like that. And then you could have, they get a flat tire. I guess like what's the midpoint? And then what's like the all is lost? Like what's the big turn?
So I would almost think that you could have one of those small moments blow up. So like, for instance, changing the tire. We've had a few of these cute little father-daughter moments along the way, and we think this is just going to be another one. And just something in there triggers and leads right. to...
Leads to, you weren't there for me as a kid.
Blah, yeah, blah, blah. A massive blow up. And it could be...
So what you could do is they get into a fight at the hotel. She... Stay with me on this. Get into a fight at the hotel. She leaves him there and is like, you can get a flight back. I'm going to do this on my own. And then she gets a flat tire. And that's when she has to like call him.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. And then obviously the awkward car ride, and then wherever they're at the following night could be where they, I mean, honestly, if we're going kind of sappy father-daughter comedy drama, I would almost say we lean into it and have them like, I don't know, for some reason, like karaoke bar is coming up in my head.
And, I like that.
And that's like something that they connect over or reconnect over.
Yeah, I guess my biggest question right now is, what is the all is lost moment when they're both as far away from what they want as possible? Is it that the husband shows up at one of their locations and is trying to talk to her? And because what does she want? She wants to be close to somebody, but she can't be.
Mm-hmm.
He wants kind of the same thing. So
I wouldn't say that the husband shows up, but maybe could it be that he's wanting the house in California? Like he's still planning to move out to California? Because if their divorce isn't finalized, then they could still be in litigation over a couple of things. And then he could say like, you can have the house and everything. And then she finds out that like he decides he wants the house and he's bringing his new girlfriend there to California with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just, okay, and I guess that could lead into a fight of him not being there for her. I guess like, what's his all is lost moment? Does he try and say the wrong thing? I mean, the dad, like, is he like...
Yeah, I think I think his all is lost is honestly more of a building and he just like, he cannot win with her. Like,
so what it would be for me is that he's been so adamant this entire time about wanting to listen and wanting to get to know her, and then completely fucks up in a way where like he, bad version, gets her the wrong kind of flowers that her husband always used to get her. And it's clear that like he tries to do the wrong thing, but in the fucked up way, and really screws it up.
Yeah. I like that. I just can't place how he could do that.
And she's like, you've known since I was a kid that I hated this thing.
Yeah.
Or it could be that one of the days is her birthday and we don't know that day why, like she wakes up and she's kind of like quiet and he goes the entire day without remembering that it was her birthday.
Could be their anniversary.
Yeah. I was just thinking that. I like anniversary.
But I kind of want the dad to fuck up, because if it's their anniversary,
the dad, you should know.
He shouldn't do anything. Yeah, but no, he shouldn't do anything because they've broken up.
Yeah, but you should be, when she is in a sour mood, I feel like you would know and make that connection.
Well, I don't think she's openly in a sour mood. I think she's like, they're excited, they're going to spend the whole time. And like, there are these buildups of she thinks he's going to do this big thing for her birthday and he just doesn't. And she's crushed. And the only person she gets a happy birthday message from is her ex-husband.
That would be weird.
Because then he like, this entire time he's been trying to get close to his kid.
And that would also work with the him being like, we tried to make it work. And he's reaching back out to her and trying to make it work. And he's like, it doesn't always work. Like, you have to make this decision for yourself. But
yeah.
Let me tell you
and
my
story. And
he was
an absentee father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually like that.
Because I especially like that. Because then she could be like, just like when I was a kid, like you weren't around for my birthdays. Like you were. And he, that's when he can open up and be like, I was severely depressed because
ooh,
your
yeah.
mom cheated on me. And yep. like that can be the...
I like it. Put her back in her place. I love it.
Not put her back in her
just
place.
Like, just chop her legs off.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I do like that. I was worried about the birthday because I'm like, birthdays are one cliche. And then two, like, I do not get how you forget somebody that close to you's birthday. But if that's the moment where he opens up, and if he opens up, like, I was clinically depressed. Like,
I think it can also be just like when you're on a road trip and you're not really paying attention, like,
you might not pay attention to what day it is.
You might not pay attention to what day it is. Like, I think that's really what it is. Like, he's not looking at a calendar. He's just, they are living life and he's trying to escape and go off the grid. He's not going to look at what day it is.
Yeah. You don't have that app. You don't have Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have Facebook reminding him. And that can be another thing, too, is like throughout the day, she keeps getting messages on her phone and he's kind of ribbing her about it, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's solid. Yeah,
I think we have our movie.
And it could even, you know, you definitely have it peppered in at the beginning that she talks about to him about this trip and how they even had plans for her birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And then.
Love it.
Woof.
Woof.
All right.
Love a good woof.
I think that works for me. I think I'm good on that. And then obviously act three, she goes and or they go out to California. Is act three in California? Do we ever show them get there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they arrive. Okay. I think they arrive like at the end.
I think you finish the movie with them arriving.
Or he could help her unpack and then.
Yeah, helping her unpack and then sure. He like.
They unpack in the credits. I get it.
Well, no, I was thinking they unpack and then, you know, the really warm moment at the end is she's like, hey, maybe you should think about moving out to California one of these days.
I was thinking the really cheesy moment would be like, he's getting ready to go back to the airport or whatever. He's like, you're all packed. I guess I should head back to the hotel or to the airport or something. And she's like, you could just stay here and for a couple more nights or something like that.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, something
but,
cheesy.
You know, something cheesy like that. And it ends on a good note and it's warm and heartfelt. And then, you know, he like brings a letter out of his pocket that like has his cancer diagnosis that he never told her about.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Good Lord.
Jesus.
All right.
And then he gets a face transplant.
And she feels his face.
Oh, my God. All right.
All right. All right.
Full circle.
Good Lord.
And Danny's going to go and write the log line. When she comes back, she'll pitch it to us. We'll go around the room and choose if we will save the cat or scratch it. All right, Danny, we'll see you in a bit.
Hey, everyone. Just a quick reminder, as always, that these podcasts are for entertainment purposes only. These ideas are fresh, new, and sometimes submitted by you. Anything said is not meant to infringe on the copyright of any existing work of art, and everything is thought of during this show without any previous influence. If it sounds like something you've already seen or heard, what can I say? That's Hollywood, all out of fresh ideas. Thanks and enjoy.
All right, and we're back. Danny's going to pitch us a log line. We're going to go around the room, starting with Danny and finishing with Brian. All right, Danny, take us away.
Hit the road. A woman is about to embark on a road trip from New Jersey to California to move into a new house with her husband. But when she finds out he's been cheating, she decides to shift gears and keep the house all to herself. Right when she's about to be wheels up, however, her concerned, formerly absentee father invites himself along for the ride. Can they pioneer a new bond on their journey out west, or will they drive each other crazy? She's back. She's back, everybody.
Your pun flow is immaculate.
Alrighty. Who's going first?
Well, I did announce Danny would go and Brian would finish. Good.
All right.
God.
I save it. I save it because of the birthday thing. Because of the concept of not being able to talk to each other and being like emotionally stunted, I think that's really strong. I feel like the logline doesn't super encompass that, but usually it doesn't. But yeah, no, I save it. I save it.
Question. Do you save it?
I think I save it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Justin, what about you?
Rumor has it Danny's going to save it. So, I mean, I don't really want to save it. It's like for me, like a mid-range story. Like, I do think you could probably sell it. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's bad. So I'm going to save it. But, yeah, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's not bad.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to save it. I think this could be one of those lower budget Netflix buys it just to throw out that they have more originals, you know, throw a little bit of money at it. I can see it. I can visualize it. And then, like I said, you know, obviously Justin made the case for every film, but I truly think with this film, you get a name in the father or the daughter role. And like, this thing is making you money in the summer going against the Avengers, you know.
When I think as a producer, that's how you'd have to sell. There's like one big name, and it's probably the dad.
Yeah. It's like parents don't want to go see another comic book movie, so they take their family to go see this instead, that kind of a film. But I do save it, and Danny's completely right. I think the birthday thing is what nailed it for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. Remember the movie Fundamentals of Caring with Paul Rudd?
No.
Nope.
Really good movie. But it reminds me a little bit of that. Like, Paul Rudd's like the big name, and then the other character, like Selena Gomez is in it, I think. But like, otherwise, like, he's like the big name, and it's like a story. Good story.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, so that's three saves.
That is three saves.
First time in a while, I think.
Yeah.
Think we saved.
And the week before.
No, it was Pack of Smokes, I think, was the last time that we all saved. But I mean, that was...
Did we all save Premature?
I mean, I did. I want to write it.
Oh, yeah, we did all save Premature.
We did. Okay.
Awesome. Well.
Didn't save Bringing the Heat, though.
Wait, we didn't? Oh, no. It was freaking Justin.
Freaking Justin.
You dirty liar.
I mean.
You dirty whore.
It's not like Danny hasn't saved one of my ideas where, like, she had control of the idea, took it one direction, and, like, we didn't save it. That's never happened.
The Salador. Fair.
Alrighty. Now that we've saved this cat, what's everybody been watching?
So my What Are You Watching is very car themed. Did not plan this, but I actually watched the first season of the new Top Gear America, which, if you know anything about me, I'm not into cars. I'm not I don't care about horsepower and you know, power under the hood and all that. I couldn't care less about cars. But my wife is obsessed with Dax Shepard, and he is one of the hosts of the new Top Gear America. And I really like Rob Corddry, who is also one of the hosts of Top Gear America. And we just started watching it. I actually really enjoyed it. They kind of get really nerdy into some cars, but the challenges that they do each week are really unique and interesting, and that's what gets me. Top Gear America, check it out. I think it's on the Motor Trend website/app.
Nice. I have been watching Fleabag.
Yay!
So it's fun. I think I've only seen the first 3 or 4 episodes. I was watching it as research for a gig, and it's a really good show. I mean, it's really unique and interesting. I watched it with my roommate, and it's very, very my style of comedy.
Well, what's unique is because it was a one-woman play that she turned into a show, which is quite amazing.
Really well done.
Yeah.
And the convention of looking at the camera is great.
Yeah.
And of course, I love the guinea pig because I have two pet rats and I love rodents. So there's that. Except she really needs to get him a friend because they do get depressed if they're alone.
Could be an idiom for the show as a whole. Idiom, the right word? It could be a...
Wait, are you telling me...
Metaphor for the show, as a whole.
Flea bag?
Metaphor for the show as a whole. Shit.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, Justin, what are you watching?
I've been watching a lot of female leading CIA shows, so I mixed it up. I've been watching Kim's Convenience, which is a fun little show.
Good one.
They just announced, actually, the other day, the current season they're filming right now is their final season.
I have not watched it, but I've heard some really good things about it.
Yeah, one of the stars of the show, I don't know his name, he's going to be in a new Marvel movie, I think. I just don't know what it's called. I think The Internals or something like that.
Eternals?
Does that sound right, Brian?
Eternals, yeah. That's a future Marvel movie.
I believe he's in that one, one of the guys.
Okay.
But yeah, great fun little show.
Actually, real quick, no, it is Simu Liu. He's playing Shang-Chi in the new Marvel film. He's like the lead in the new Marvel film, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Cool. Well, I mean, good for him. Like he,
I didn't realize that was him.
Plays. It's a great show, and it kind of like it leads you into like some cultural things I didn't know about. I think it's based in Canada, which is kind of cool. So, pretty cool, fun little show.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's what I'm watching.
Gotcha. All right. Well, three saves for Hit the Road. Then we had Kim's Convenience, Fleabag, and season one of the new Top Gear America. I think that's a good wrap up.
I'm Justin Eugene. Catch me on all the big platforms. Later.
I'm Danny Hanks. You can catch me at Official Danny Hanks and on Twitter at Danny_Hanks.
Those were okay, but I'm Brian Hayes. You can catch me at Redacted on all the big socials.
If only you guys could see all the hand motions he was doing, it would make that so much cooler.
I'm pretty sure they can catch the context over the mic.
And you can find us at Can We Save Pod on Instagram and Twitter and wherever you get your socials. Like, comment, subscribe, do all the things that YouTube says you do, even though we're not a YouTube channel. And leave us 5 stars, because we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Also, if you have any guests in mind you think we should have on the pod, please let us know. DM Brian.
I am Brian not.
Or any ideas. If you have any good pitches or bad pitches, we'll probably pick one.
Bring all your good ideas to Danny. She's going to need them in the next coming weeks, because I'm coming for her. All Ouch. Pitch wins next month. Justin will win all pitch wins.
Oof. No. Not going to happen.
Anybody want to post up the tally currently?
Ooh, I could do that after next week's.
I believe Justin has 10, Danny has 9, and Brian has 8.
I don't know. I can't tell you until...
We picked mine like 3 weeks in a row or something.
Three out of four you were picked.
You did crush it this last month. That's why I need to come in hot the following month.
Sorry, I'm just too good at this, guys.
Until Brian and I team up.
How would we team
Brian,
up?
I'll give you one week. Give me one
Why
next
is
time.
It that every time you say something like that, it just sounds sexual?
Oh, my
Justin.
God. Oh, my God.
I was not trying to make that sexual.
I knew.
You mushroom. Take your mushroom spore somewhere else.
Oh, my God. This took such a turn.
Bye.